now, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I ask you for forgiveness to saturate this place right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, every grievance, every offense, every irritation, every aggravation, every family feud, every ill word spoken. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you're, God, you're causing us to see that we need to forgive. And Lord, I speak that forgiveness out right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm excited to be here this morning. How many of you, you know, I wouldn't say that I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, but I would say I woke up on the weird side of the bed. Is there anybody else like that? You don't know if you're going to be in a good mood or a bad mood today. Let me just tell you, you got to make the decision that you're going to be in a good mood, because it is a decision. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 2. And somebody asked me, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12, and someone said, Pastor, are you about done Christmas decorating? And yes, I am. I am done. I am done. My Christmas tree at my house has 4 ornaments on there, and that is it. All the decorating anointing came to the church, and I'm totally fine with that. Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to begin with verse 1 through 12. The title of this message is Shining is a Choice. Shining is a Choice. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, by that word Magi, what you're going to see there is a little tiny letter by that most of the time. And what you're going to do is you're going to look at the bottom of your Bible, and it will explain to you or give you a further in-depth definition of what Magi is. But Magi is wise men. So this is where in the account of Jesus' birth where we get the 3 wise men. And Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And I'm going to tell you something that is still current to this very moment in time is wherever Jesus is, there's light. Wherever Jesus is, there's light. Wherever Jesus is, there's light. You can have light in your finances. You can have light in your family. You can have light in your marriage. You can have light in your community. You can have light in your child raising. You can have light. Wherever Jesus is, there is light. And that's what you can bet. You can take that to the bank. You can cash that check every single day of the week. Wherever Jesus is, there's light. And the problem for the believer is we get into things and we invite things into our life that Jesus was never in. And I want to bring things full circle to you this morning. Look in your life. Search your heart. And if there's places, if there's areas, if there's categories in your life and in your heart that there is no light, then God is not in that. I encourage you to only be involved with where Jesus is. Amen? And it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. I'm going to tell you something. Every person in this congregation, everybody that has breath in their lungs, every person that's watching this on an online platform, you have gifts and callings on your life. They come without repentance. I encourage each person to settle in their heart. They're going to give their gifts and they're going to bring their gifts to God.
Amen.
I encourage every person to bring their gifts and their callings and their talents to God. I remember many years ago, Colton Dixon was on American Idol, and he started out singing gospel songs and Christian songs. And gradually throughout the show, he kind of steered away from that. Now, I'm not saying that you can't listen to music that's not Christian. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is at the end of the day, you better be doing what God told you to do, because everybody has gifts and callings on their life. Some of our gifts and callings we need to use just strictly for the Lord. And so one of the very last performances that he gave, he walked out and he said, you know, I've got to get back to really who I am. And he got on his knees and he began to sing a worship song. And I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to get anywhere in your life when you don't give God the glory. You'll never get too far in your life if you want to take all the credit for yourself. Whatever good thing that you are, whatever talent that you have, God gave it to you. I know people and they can sing like an angel, but they live like the devil. Now, I'm just the complete opposite of that. I don't sing very good, but I try my darndest to live for God. It don't matter how good or bad you sing. It don't matter how good or bad you do anything. Will you give it to God? Will you give it to God? And so these wise men, they brought their gifts to God. I'm going to encourage you today, give your gifts to God. Give your gifts to God. It's not always all about us and how we feel, because feelings aren't facts. You can feel one way, and that doesn't mean that's the reality of it. It's just a feeling. And feelings will pass, and feelings will come, and feelings will go. And it says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. See, they were not going to report to Herod where the baby was, because they knew what Herod wanted to do. Go with me now to John chapter 8 and verse 12. We're talking about the fact that shining is a choice. Being a light is a choice. Jesus always brings light. He always brings light. So John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus is speaking. And he says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, the word says that in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. The word says that, you know, if you're really a believer, you're going to have the light of life inside of you. That there should be a light inside of you. We sing these little songs when we're little. This little light of mine. Come on, y'all. Help me out, because I can't sing worth a flip. I'm going to let it shine. Get your fingers out. Let's go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh, hide it under a bushel. No! I usually was really dramatic about that when I was little. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. See, you get the point, okay? Now, if you're just a stick in the mud and you're not laughing and having a good time in church, you're too serious. All right? Life is too hard. It's too real. It's too so many things for you to just walk around and never allow yourself to have any joy. You got to have joy whether you're in the worst fight of your life or whether you're on the mountaintop. You have to choose to have joy. Joy is a choice. It's a choice. The whole time to church today, I was sitting there going, am I going to be in a good mood today or not? I mean, I was wrestling with myself. Kelly, are you going to get your act together or not? I had to really tell myself several times, Tanya, we're going to act right today. We're going to have joy. We're going to play nice with all the other kids. And we're just going to behave. Okay? So if the pastor can do it, everybody can do it. So it says here that when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. He's not just the light of one thing. He's not just the light over here. He's the light of everything. He is the light of everything. And it says this, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. One thing, if you're really following Christ, you're not walking in a dark spot. Whoever follows me will never be in darkness, but will have the light of life. Even when you struggle, if you're following Christ, you've got that light of life inside of you that says, you know what, I may be struggling right now, but eventually this too shall pass. Nothing that you're going through is going to last forever. God will not allow it. And you can guarantee that everything that you are going through, God is turning it around for your good. And many, many times the very struggle that you thought was going to take you down, it actually made you who you are. And who you are is a child of God. Not just when you feel like it. Because we ain't feeling it many times. How many of you wake up every day and you feel saved? I mean, if I just went off of how I felt, there's days where I would wake up and I wouldn't feel saved. Why? Because I woke up in a bad mood. Or I woke up irritated. Or I woke up this way. Or I woke up that way. That's why I'm telling you, it don't really matter how you feel. It matters who you are, and it matters whose you are, and it matters who he is. Go with me now to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5 through 7. And this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. In him, there is no darkness at all. If you're going to do something in this life, I encourage you to do it in him. Because outside of him, it's never going to go good. I'm going to say it one more time. Whatever you do, do it in Christ. Because outside of him, it's never going to go good. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Now, I am not a hellfire and brimstone pastor. I usually like to stay upbeat, but I am going to tell you there is a hell and there is a heaven. Okay? You're going to go to one of the two places. And knowing me and going to church isn't getting you into heaven. I don't have that kind of authority. But working out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, that's what gets you there. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. There is an epidemic going through the nation, going through the entire world, every continent. People that claim to be believers are calling right wrong and wrong right. We are normalizing things that God in his word, he said they are an abomination. Okay? We are saying that things are okay just because that's how we feel. Look here. God will not take into account how we felt when we sinned. I'm going to have to get on Facebook and rewatch this message because, see, I need to hear this just as much as y'all. if not more. I encourage every believer in here to walk in truth. To walk in truth as much as you can. What is truth? God defines it in His Word. He is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He defines for us very clearly in His Word what truth really is. And it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, I wish that I could tell you the day that you got saved that you wouldn't sin anymore, but you know what? That's just not the case. You're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. That's what God says in His Word. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them. And, you know, whatever it is that you face, what people like to do is they like to try to factor in perfection with their relationship with God, and that's just, those two can't exist. Because we're human, He doesn't forget how He makes us, and there's going to be days where you sin. That doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. I'm going to say that again. When you sin, that doesn't make you not a Christian. What it makes you is someone that needs to go to God, their Heavenly Father, and repent of that sin. But there's too many believers that feel like they're kicked out of the club every little time that they do something. Now, I'm not giving you a free pass to just live it up and do all the sinning you want. That don't work either. But what I'm saying is don't let the devil deceive you. Every time you make a wrong turn, that doesn't make you not a child of God. It just makes you somebody that you know what? You're going to struggle with certain things. How many of you know the areas in your life where you're prone to sin? We know these areas, right? Okay. There are certain places that I totally avoid because I know I have a problem with them. One of them is JCPenney's. I just can't behave in that store, okay? That's a joke. But what's not a joke is we all know the places where we don't need to go emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Amen? And sometimes we allow our emotions to go to places we don't belong in. And that's how we fall into some of the deepest, darkest sin that there is. And I encourage y'all to live by the Word. What does the Word say? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I am convinced that very few are looking. You got to look for that way, and you got to stay in it. So it says here, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. I don't know every single person real well in this congregation this morning, but what I can tell you is God is still on the throne, and He still forgives. He still forgives. There's lots of God-fearing people, and they feel so bad about things that they've done. And I want to talk to that person this morning for just a moment. God is not holding that against you, whatever it is. Many times the hardest thing for us to do is to move past what we did. It's hard. Why is it hard? Because it flares up. There's still remnants sometimes of what we did. Okay? There's still evidence sometimes of what happened. Maybe people closest to us bring it up. But the Word of God is still true. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. God still forgives. The Word says that His mercies are new every single morning. If the devil keeps coming to you with all the stuff that you did and you can't seem to get over it, you just say, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I receive Your mercy, God, and I receive the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, I take authority right now over every lying, devil that wants to come at me and remind me of all the things that I've done, all the sin that I've done. God, you said in your word that, Lord, that you would give me a clean slate, that you would wipe away my sin. And you told me that you would wipe away whiter than snow. Lord, as far as the east is from the west, God, you have moved our transgressions away from us. So God, right now, even though my memory wants to remember those things, Lord, I cast that memory down and I tell my mind to get in line with the word of God that says that I'm the apple of your eye. Lord, that says that I am a new creation right now in Jesus' name. See, if you're not renewing your mind, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get down. You got to renew your mind, and you've got to tell your mind what it is going to do and what it's not going to do. In Jesus' name, go with me now to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. My little Coco. Man, I don't even know how you get kids like that. But I hit the kid lottery. That little guy, I mean, if somebody said, who is the best person in the whole world? My kid, Coco, and I'm glad the other one ain't here because he would be getting all mad. That's when it talks about brilliant kids, Carson's the smartest kid I've ever met in my life. He's so smart. I just try not to get into any type of any argument with him. He shouldn't be arguing with his mother, but on the rare occasion that we do get into it, I just try to leave that because that kid is smarter than me already. And I'm like, I don't want to get in an argument with this 13-year-old because I ain't going to win this. The kid is just brilliant. Now, Coco, if you ever have a bad day, call my phone and say, I just need to talk to Coco. That kid will pray for you. I believe that God speaks to him, and that child will pray some of the most spot-on prayers. I mean, oh, my gosh. The other day, Coco and I keep some secrets from Carson and Frank. And many times it's our pit stops to Sonic on the way home when it's just me and him. And we love Sonic. And I always say, now, Coco? And he goes, I know, Mom. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not telling Frank and Carson about this. And I said, no, we're not. Get the cheese stick container. Get the ice cream with the candy all blizzard up in there. Get all that stuff. Take away all the evidence. Wad it up. Put it under the seat. I'll get it tomorrow. And he's so sweet. He always says, Mom, we will not discuss this outside of this car. That kid is going places because he knows how to keep his mouth shut. And most adults don't know how to do that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It's a joy to have kids. I think it's the hardest thing in the world to do is to raise kids. It is difficult, and what I'm seeing is that you never are done raising them. I mean, there's things that I didn't understand until I got to that particular part in my parenthood, but it has made me feel like terrible because I did some stuff to my parents that now I'm not real proud of, but I didn't even realize it was terrible until my own kids did that to me. How many of you have ever gotten your kids something and they weren't grateful? And you're like, you ungrateful, rude, little so-and-so. Do you know how much I sacrificed? And it makes you just, how many of you have ever said this? Don't ever ask me for nothing again. Good. Now I don't feel like such a bad parent, but I say the same thing. Like every week I'm like, it's the most ungrateful kid in the world. He don't appreciate nothing. And then I start thinking about me, and I'm like, God has allowed this to come full circle. Lord, do I need to call mom and dad and do some repenting? Usually, I can't even get to the repenting part because by the time I pick up the phone, if there's a crack in my voice, dad's going, what's wrong? And I don't call them as often now because there's always something wrong. If you have grown children and you feel bad because they don't talk to you very much, let me tell you something. Most of the time, it's not because of any other thing other than, honest to God, they don't want to trouble you because they know that you love them so much. The second that you hear their voice, they know that you know that they're having some type of problem. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. So many people and Christians are in an identity crisis and they don't know who they are. They've listened to too much podcast, too much news. Look here, if you watch the news every morning, you're going to have probably a very depressed moment in your day because they're not going to tell you anything good. It's not called the good news. It's called the news. But right here in God's Word, what I've learned about the Word of God is it will define you. When you're lost and you feel like you don't know who you are and you don't even know how you got to a point in your life, you know, I believe that there's times in everyone's life where you wake up and you think, I don't know who I am anymore and I don't even know what I stand for. You know what? If you'll get into the Word of God will define to you who you are. And it'll bring you back to that good place in your life. But right here in these verses is beautiful scripture because it tells us who we are. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, when I was growing up, my dad would pray for you in the grocery store. He would pray for you in the funeral home. He would pray for you in Walmart. He would pray for you anywhere. Anywhere. And now what we have is a generation of believers who want to hide it under a bushel. And we're not telling ourselves no. There's times where you have to make a stand for God and His truth. And it says here, you are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. What God put inside of you, he describes it in His Word as the light of life. And He never intended for you to hide that. Now, sometimes we get confused because we think, well, how can I be a light and still have problems going on in my life? Look here, that's called life. Just because you have problems, just because you've got things in your life, just because you're struggling doesn't mean that you're not a light. The devil tries to get us to think that, well, when I get through this, I'll be a better Christian and I'll spread the love of God more, or I'll do this. No, you know what? Today is the day of salvation. Today. Don't procrastinate being who God really wanted you to be. God is not expecting people to be flawless. He's just expecting you to be His. Entirely. Entirely. How many of you are married? How many of you still love your spouse? You better be hands lifted up. Frank? Frank's not feeling good this morning. He's been coughing all night. God's not expecting you to be flawless. He's expecting you to be His. I'm going to say that one more time. God's not expecting you to be flawless, but He is expecting you to be His. Now, I'm going to tell you the God honest truth. I could be in the room with 100 men, and I only truly have eyes for Frank. And I tell him all the time, Daddy, just shut your ears. Frank, sweetie, you do it for me in every single way. Amen. And I mean that. And I love that man with my entire heart. I don't love him more than God. I've learned that lesson. But I love him with every fiber of my being. God's not asking you to be flawless. But he is asking you to be his. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. See, The light that God's doing in your life, he's asking you to let everybody see it. When you let them see that light, you're also letting them see all your flaws. Show them anyways. Nobody wants to see a perfect person because we know we can never be that. Wednesday was just a day. Apostle Paul, how old are you? 91. He worked so hard Wednesday. And one of his hardest jobs was he had to sit there and listen to me. He was going to the dumpster, and I needed a counseling session. I said, Paul, come here. I'm just going to vent for a minute. I just sat there and told Paul how aggravated I was. He said, well, I love Paul. He goes, Pastor Kelly, you're just going to have to get a little bit thicker of a skin. That would have probably cost me $300 at the psychiatrist, but thank you, Paul, for that good of advice. So I give you guys all that advice also. There's situations you're just going to have to get a little bit thicker of a skin. Because you know what? It's not always going to be easy, and it's not going to always be how you want it and what you want and when you want it. But what you know is that God put a light inside of you, and he's asking you to make the decision to let it shine. Shining is a choice. It really is. And what people don't like to do, what this society has trained us, how many of you, when you're scrolling, how many of you got Facebook? Yeah, most of the church, okay? We're going to go on a Facebook fast at the beginning of the year. That's going to kill most of us off. But, but how many of you on Facebook, you see influencers? Okay, if you don't know what an influencer is, they're just normal people, and they're usually trying on clothes, or they're looking at products and all this stuff, okay? Here's what I don't like about that. It makes all the people watching that feel like, oh, well, my house isn't that clean. Forget ever doing a video in my house. Man, my house is an absolute disastrous zoo. Forget my kids being that good. That ain't never gonna happen. See, and then we start looking at all this stuff online, and then we start comparing, and there's never a comparison. And here's the thing I want to tell you. I guarantee you a lot of those influencers, they only have one clean room in their whole house. But then we're over here, and we're feeling bad over what we think that they have that we don't got. They don't have it either. Okay? And it's okay. Let your light shine. If that light's shining on your life and it's all for Jesus, if it exposes some of your flaws, that's okay. Make that choice to shine anyways. I love humanity because they are really, people are something. Okay? How many have ever seen an online devotional that I've done? You see me out there? Okay. This is people at their worst. One day, I was doing a devotional outside, and I got a lawn chair. And if you ever see me outside doing a devotional, it's probably because I'm at my house, and we have three dogs, and they'll be fine the whole day. But the second that I get on the phone, they all want to misbehave. That's just what they do. And my little brat's the worst. His name is Sammy. He's terrible. He reminds me of Brother Sam, but Brother Sam is great. But every time I'm like giving that dog the what for, your head pops in my brain because I'm like, Sammy. And then when I get really mad at him, I say, Sammy Vidal. And then I call him by his middle name. But anyways, one day I was outside and I pulled up a lawn chair and I was doing a devotional. And I said, I made the mistake of saying something. And here was the mistake. I said, I'm coming to you outside of my house on the lake. Never thought anything about it. The next morning, wake up, and I've got like an enormous Facebook bashing me over they hope to God that I'm helping people because here I'm out on the lake in this huge house and I don't even love people enough to feed them and all that other stuff. And I thought, this person isn't even from this town because first of all, I live in a double wide trailer, folks. You jerks. Sorry I didn't show it to you where the boards are rotting out, but I'm sorry you think that I live in a mansion down here, but I don't, and I feed almost all of Logan County. But see, humanity is when you let that light shine, things are going to come out, and people are going to judge you over it, criticize you over it, talk bad about you over it. That don't mean don't let your light shine. That means shine it even brighter. Shine it even brighter. We just have to realize people going to talk, ain't they, Jimmy? They love it. He's going to be my manager when I run for the presidency. He said, Kelly, the other day, he said, I love you, Pastor. I want you to run for the president. Look here, the White House can't handle somebody like me, okay? They can't. But it says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Not praise you, not brag about you, but praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. See, that light, I want you to really pay attention to this verse. Let me see here. I've learned you can hang on every word. Miss Mary, what is this?
Let.
Allow it. Let it. The light's in there, but you have to be willing to let it shine. And there's too many believers, they're caught in the politics of, well, I don't want to let this shine because then I'll upset this and all. You're going to upset somebody just by breathing, okay? Let it shine. Let it shine. How do we let it shine? We make a choice. We say, I'm going to shine for you, Jesus, come hell or high water, come good days, come bad days. We're going to shine, and that's just what we're going to do. Go with me to Psalms chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And Brother Jim, will you get that crate up here. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to do something. Dwayne, here's what I need. Those chairs right there, I need you to start them right here and put those 10 chairs right there. I don't like y'all to get used to the same old stuff that we always do, because see, then church just becomes mundane and routine. Yep, just close together, as close as together you can get them, because there's going to be 10 there and we'll get more if we need. Frank, sweetheart, get this plastic tub. How many of y'all love these angels? Thank you, Monica. Dwayne, get this very enormous, gorgeous flower arrangement. There's two handles. Put it on the stage, brother. All right. Now, this is going to probably just blow your mind. We're going to let the elderly come up here first. If you are elderly and you have trouble standing for long periods of time, we've got you a seat. If we need to get more seats, we'll get more seats. And Dwayne, do me a favor. Go in Sister Millie's class. Tell her that we're going to need her and the children out here in 5 minutes. So, if you're elderly or if you're Thelma, you may need to sit. So, y'all folks that need to sit, come up here and get in your seat. We're going to give you a head start. And y'all save this chair for my sweet mama. And we'll get another one if we need to. All right, Daddy. Now, this is yours. I want the rest of y'all, Tanya, and you're going to have to help me, exactly how we did it last year for that game. I don't want anybody going through the foyer, but we need to all be here and here. Let's get in a circle. All you germaphobes, you're going to have to lay that down at the altar today. But everybody, let's start here at Brother Charlie, and y'all just get in a circle all the way around, one big circle. You're going to follow that through in those, in that back where Jeremiah and Sam are, that's where the circle is going to end. So everybody get in the circle. Frank, sweetie, if you want to start right here, give everybody one of those. Let me get two out of there before you really get going, honey. Thank you. That's Mother's. Mm-hmm.